We're going to talk a lot about Bloomfield because we're talking over 44 years.
Yeah. When I was 15, I was just down this road. There's a fire here burning back up through the bush. And I had the Blitzwagen. I was 15. I was only about 4 foot high. So I had that, and all the rest went over to John Renshaw to start burning back, and we'd burn up this back road. And Dad said, don't let that cross the road. You've got to look after this road, because if it gets into the coal heaps, God only knows it, we're in a lot of trouble. So that was my job for those hour or two. So I was on my own with the truck driving up and down, making sure, you know, everything was fine. And Darryl Turnbull comes down. He's an engineer here at the time. He wanted to know what I was doing, and like, what are you doing here? Who else is here? I said, no one. Told him who I was, and he knew who Dad was. I said, oh, okay. So he said, what are you going to do when you leave school? I said, I don't know. I'm not sure yet. And he said, well, come and see us. Okay, so I told Dad, and Dad said, do you know who he is, son? I said, no. I said, he's the engineer in charge here. He's a very important man. So I went down the 4 mile and applied for a job, and they said, oh, we only take one apprentice in. We've already got him, so no. Sorry, we're full. I said, okay, it's just that Darryl Turnbull said to come and see us. And Alan Merritt said, who said? Did you say Darryl? He said, yeah. Oh, okay, so I went home and got a phone call a week later. I had to go for an interview. I took all my stuff up, and Alan Merritt was there, and he's looking at me and turning the pages and said, well, everything looks okay here. We're going to give you a start. And that was pretty much me start to Bloomfield.
So it started. Was made.
Yeah, that's how it all started. And then I did my apprenticeship right through, and had a great time.
44 years is a long time. I presume you've seen a lot of changes. But let's talk about how things evolved.
I was pretty lucky because I did apprenticeship as a fitter down there. I was working with Bob Lomas and Paul Kent Walker in the office. I was a 30-year apprentice. And he said, you rebuilt that transmission with Bob, did you? And that's how it's, you know. I said, yeah. He said, and the one before that, I said, yeah. He thought, and he said, you can do the next one on your own. And I just thought, no way. So when he left, I went into Alan and said, Alan, Paul just said, I've got to do this transmission. I can't do it. Honestly, I can't do it. He said, well, you've got no choice. So anyway, I gets my first transmission to rebuild, and it all went well. And then I did transmissions for years after that, just rebuilt one, because we used to do a lot of Hunter Valley earth-moving gear. So we did that for a lot of years, and then I transmissions and diffs, and then engines. I did a lot of engines, so that took up quite a few years. And then Alan Rudder wanted me to do leading hand on afternoon shift, and I said, I don't like afternoon shift, I don't think I'd cope with it. He said, just do it for 6 months. I said, what about a couple of nights? He said, 6 months. So what about 2 weeks? 6 months. What about a month? No, 6 months. So I said, I'll let you know tomorrow. I thought about it. I said, yeah, I'll give it a go. So after the first week, I hated it. After, you know, a month, I thought, oh, probably get used to it. And after about 3 months, he said, so how's afternoon shift going? I said, Alan, I think I'll be here for the rest of my life. I'll love it. So he knew he had to.
You had to give it some time.
And I probably spent, I reckon, 30 years on afternoon shift. I loved it. It's the best shift I've ever done. Really suited me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a bad bike accident, and I was off work for nearly 5 years with a broken leg, 27 operations, so it was pretty bad.
What year was that, Dave? How far back are we talking?
Back in the 90s.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and I had staph in it, so anyway, they cut a long story short. I should have lost it, but I've saved it. So it's all good. So when I went back to work, I said to Alan, look, I think I might come back on the borer, operating as a machinist. And he said, well, that's good, because we've had a lot of trouble with machines there at the moment. So I worked on the borer for afternoon shift then for years and years with Terry Cousins, who actually died on the borer shortly after I left. He had a heart attack. But so that was another change of career. I was machining full-time for 5 or 6 years, and then I came up here and in the washing plant a couple of years, and then in the open cut and swapped backwards and forwards. So when I say Bloomfield, I haven't had the one job my whole life. It's
yeah.
if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been such a broad spectrum. And back in the day, we were doing underground stuff and rebuilding pumps and motors and pretty much anything that was mechanical we repaired.
Mm.
Nothing
mm.
was sent out. It's a bit different today, but
it's good when you can look back at your career with no regrets, isn't it? That's a pretty good place.
No, to no be. Regrets. No, none at all.
Yeah.
None at all. And then when I retired, I was thinking about pulling up stumps sort of end of this year maybe, because I was 60 back in October. And Dad was pretty crook. And I was talking to my girl and to Mel, and I said I was going to retire next year. And she goes, "Why are you waiting?" And I said, "Well, I don't know." I don't know. So I don't have to get up early anymore, which is great. So that's what I mean. Over the years, they yeah. look after me.
A lot of companies or organisations talk about putting people first, but they don't necessarily walk the talk. It sounds like this company.
In my case, does. I have.
Yeah, yeah.
In my
yeah,
case, yeah. I have nothing bad to say about the place. Yeah. They've really looked after me, and yeah.